Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
If I were any better, I'd be in jail.
Wow. I thought you were going to say if you're any better, you'd be me.
No. Yeah.
Wow. Just absolute disrespect to begin the program this morning.
You're a Packers fan, which automatically puts you way behind the eight ball.
Well, speaking of the NFC North, Corey, let's start there. So a report over
right.
the weekend
yes.
from Jordan Schultz that apparently some conversations going on between the Vikings and Ryan Tannehill. Ryan, what do you make of that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would make me wonder about J.J. McCarthy and where they are with that. I mean, you know, do they want Tannehill to play or do they just want him to back up? I mean, if you want to bring him back as a backup, I have no qualms with that, you know, whatsoever. I don't think Ryan Tannehill, from my understanding, wants to come back and be a backup.
Right.
But I guess part of me also is, what's the point if you want Ryan Tannehill to start? You know, I mean, he's not going to win you the Super Bowl, all right? And he's not going to, you know, get you closer to the Super Bowl years down the line. And so, you know, it would only make sense to have him as a veteran backup to your young quarterback, unless you're worried he's not going to be ready to start the first 3-4 weeks of the season. Then I could see that. But, look, we all have seen the quarterback landscape. And you certainly, and I mean certainly, can do worse than Ryan Tannehill at this point.
Yeah, but I'm with you. It's like if it's just a straight, hey, come be our backup, I can't see how he's even seriously entertaining that.
He
suppose
made some money in his career.
Yes.
Exactly. So, yeah, if it's like you said, the Vikings, I mean, it's just interesting the fact that they've had conversations with Rodgers. I never would have guessed that, the way things all played out. I was like, okay, J.J. McCarthy era, here we go. But maybe that is, maybe you hit on it, Corey, is just like the readiness early they're worried about. And so if you're Tannehill, it's like, well, I could come in, ball out the way Darnold did last year. I'll take my chances with Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson and Kevin O'Connell's offense. And then I'll have myself entrenched, and, you know, the J.J. McCarthy era is still, you know, a long way to go.
Maybe it's a situation where they're like, hey, come in. You're probably going to play the first 3 or 4 weeks. If we're 4-0, the job is yours until we see otherwise. You know, maybe that's an opportunity that they present, you know, to them. But I mean, who knows? I mean, obviously the coach can coach and, you know, they've got some personnel on the team and they're in position to win some games. But if J.J. McCarthy was going to start before he got hurt. So they can't think he stinks now. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't make any sense. And if they did think he stinks, they would have kept
Darnold.
Darnold.
Be there.
Right. Yeah. So it only makes sense that this is a temporary job at best.
So, Corey, today is, number one, mercifully now a month away from the NFL draft, so we're getting closer. And number two, Cam Ward Pro Day is today, so we'll, I'm sure, see a lot of highlights from him throwing the ball around in Miami later today. I guess my question for you is this. The Titans have already met with him a couple times. They've had him in their facility. They've gone through the film at this point. So if you're a Titans fan, if you're a member of that Titans coaching staff, probably more importantly, what are you looking for today out of Cam Ward in terms of what you want to see from the pro day and how impactful that is in your decision as to whether or not to draft him at number one?
Well, look, you've got 4 years of film with three different teams on him. Okay. So you've seen him play in a variety of different systems, with a variety of different level of personnel around him, against a variety of different competition. And you've met him a handful of times now. You certainly know he can throw the football and you can move. I don't know how much there is to learn from watching him perform at his pro day, he's going to perform well, right? I mean, unless he goes out there and just is just terrible, I can't see his performance making much of a difference. I think one thing they may want to see is how everyone there acts around him. How do his teammates respond to him? How does the Miami administration that's there, you know, react around him? How does he handle the situation? Does he take a leadership position in the pro day and how it handles? I think that might be more interesting to me than how he actually throws, because, I mean, guys, we're talking about him the first pick of the draft. He's going to throw the ball well. Yep. There's no question about that.
Yeah, no, you hit on something, Corey, that teams definitely talk about, which is it's kind of like seeing a guy in his environment with his current team and how that might translate, which makes sense. I always also it makes me wonder, like, what if, like, a bunch of guys say, you know what, let's just, like, act like we really hate this guy, you know, or like, hey, you know, I'll act like I think you're an amazing leader. Throw me about, like, you know, $3,000-$4,000, you know? I mean, you know.
Or it could be Bo Callahan and just none of them show up.
Yeah,
could
be.
Yeah, Restrepo didn't even show up to his own pro day because it's Cam Ward, you know? But yeah, I mean, I mean, like you said, the film is a film. It is funny when it's like, if you're a player and you say the film is a film, then why even throw out your pro day, right? But
you only get one.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. At this point, I guess what would your shock level be at this point if Cam Ward is not a Tennessee Titan next fall?
Pretty high, because there are other options at quarterback. Unless Will Levis gets a lot better this offseason, their options are not great. And it would also have to be pretty high, because it means they got an unbelievable offer to move out of one. You know, it would take one of those two things. If you were going to make a deal, it would be before most of these teams kind of resolve their quarterback situation. Although, look, I mean, what do the Giants have? Jameis Winston?
Yep.
I don't think that takes them out of the quarterback market if the right deal, you know, came along. But it certainly seems to me I would have a pretty high shock factor if it wasn't Cam Ward.
So, Corey, knowing that, you know, a big piece of the offseason is going to be the draft, and that's still obviously incomplete here, what do you make of kind of the early returns of the Brinker-Borgonzi era in terms of how they've approached this offseason, the strategy involved with some of the players that they brought in and some of the players that they've let go, and how Titans fans should feel about that at this point of the offseason?
I mean, I don't think there have been a ton of surprises, because we knew there would be more, you know, second-tier free agents than top-tier, you know, free agents. Obviously, you know, the contract for the tackle was more than everyone expected. But, like, they made it clear that getting that right tackle position was paramount to them. And they fixed their right tackle by bringing in a left tackle. And, you know, they figured that was their best pathway to doing that. And, you know, like, I have always been one that the game starts in the trenches. I mean, it might be the NFC North in me coming out, but you know, that is always where it begins. And until they got that fixed, they weren't going to go anywhere. It was like the quarterback situation. Until you get that fixed, you're really not going much of anywhere. And so, you know, it was good to see that be, to me, even a bigger priority than bringing in fancy wide receivers. You know, they've still got to do that. But let's face it, guys, it's harder to find good linemen than it is good wide receivers at this stage of the game, for whatever reason. And so, you know, I think they've had some good priorities in what they've done. Now, are those going to work out? That is a whole nother story that has to be proven and has to be seen. You know, and they haven't wasted money. They haven't been afraid to make difficult decisions, which is good. But let's not hold anything back here. I mean, they have a long way to go. I mean, there's not a lot in the pass rush game for them right now. The guys they brought in look like they're better run stoppers than they are pass rushers. So they still definitely need a quality pass rusher, and they definitely need weapons on the outside you know, whether they bring him in through the draft or continue through free agency. I'm really excited that Van Jefferson is back, but I am confident in saying that he is not what they are viewing as their long-term solution. And so, you know, they've still, you know, look, they want to build through the draft. And ultimately, that is what is going to decide the success of this administration, is how they draft. And really, this first draft will be their biggest one, because if Cam Ward is right, if Cam Ward is the pick and Cam Ward is the guy, they're going to have jobs for a long time. If Cam Ward fails, then they're playing an uphill battle, and they're going to have to figure out another way, and you only get so much time to do that.
I agree. And if their left tackle choice fails, it increases the, you know, the difficulty. Yep. For Cam Ward, but well, that's a big, big question. Corey, are the Tennessee Volunteers going to a Final Four for the first time in school history?
You know, Houston's really good and really well coached. I picked Tennessee into my Final Four because Zakai Ziegler is a tough little nugget, and I don't like to bet against him. It's going to take one thing, all right? To me, they have three guys, Ganey, Lanier, and Milicic. Two of those guys have to combine for at least 30 points in each game. If they can do that the next two games, they'll get to the Final Four. So Lanier kind of has to continue at the pace he's going. And if he doesn't, Milicic will have to step up in a big way. And if that doesn't happen, regardless whether it's Kentucky or Houston, they're going to be in trouble. But if two of those three can perform at that level, I feel like they're finally going to get there.
It's going to be interesting to see. I'm sure there'll be a lot of trash talk this week between Tennessee and Kentucky fans as well, which we're always here for. More trash talk in sports, Corey.
I tell you what's amazing to me is all the pressure's on Tennessee. I mean, you know, historically, you know, Kentucky's Final Four bust, but this is Mark Pope's first year.
Yep.
They're hurt. I mean, I feel like Kentucky's playing with house money right now. They're going for a sweep. They're going for three in a row over Tennessee, who's the number two seed. I mean, I think Kentucky's really playing with house money. And as we talk about Rick Barnes still going for his first championship, Tennessee going for its first Final Four, I think all the pressure is on Rocky Top.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you next week.
It was. I mean, I was really smart today.
Maybe even more so than normal.
Sometimes I even impress
myself. It's a high bar.
Which is hard to do. I have a new coffee cup that literally says best person ever.
Wow. Look at you. Look at you. Thank you, Corey.
I got my cool dad one.
Oh, nice.
I got one that says dad bod.
Good gracious. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans front. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rexrow, 1025-1063, The Game.